Mesechta Nida, Daf Samach Zayin. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said that a woman should not go to do tefillah in a harbor, in a nomel, since over there tends to be a lot of mud, and this can cause a chatzitza. The mud is going to get on her feet, and it's, when she goes into and is toivel in the water, her feet will be full of mud, and there'll be a chatzitza between her foot and the water. That's the pashut pshat. Tosfos, however, learns a different pshat. He says that she shouldn't be toivel in a port, since a lot of people are there, and it's not sneistic. So she'll be very embarrassed, she'll be toivel very quickly, and not do it properly, and it won't be a good tefillah. The nafkamina between these two pshatim is brought in Yeridea, Simen Kuf Tzadik Ches, that if this is done, if a woman is toivel in a nomel, in a port, and it's done b'diavad, according to pshat number one, it's no good, because in the case, it would still be chatzitza. If she goes into a port, even if it's b'diavad, if she gets mud on her feet, and there's a chatzitza, the tefillah would be no good. However, according to pshat number two, which is Taisus, where we said she would be embarrassed, we would say that b'diavad it is good. And the Rama paskins that b'diavad, if a woman is toivel in a port, it is a good tefillah. The father of Shmuel in Yemei Nisan would not allow his daughters to be toivel in rivers, but only in a regular mikveh. But in Yemei Tishrei, he would allow his daughters to be toivel in rivers, but only if they had mats under their feet, so there would be no chatzitza between the mud and their feet. Nisan is no good for tefillah. This Gemara is also brought in Shabbos Daf Samachay, Becheres Daf Nunhei, Nedarim Daf Mem. The reason Yemei Nisan was no good is since a Mayan, as background, a Mayan is a live well or a spring. In those, one can be toivel whether the water is still, which is referred to as Ashbaran, or running, which is referred to as Zeichelin. Masha'enkein in a mikveh, which is a hole in the ground which has rainwater, which is the mikvahs we have today, that must be ba'ashbayron. It must be water which is still. It cannot be water which is zeichelin. It can't be water which is flowing. So water is zeichelin. If it's flowing, then the mikvah is pasul. It's for this reason, of course, that we have to be very careful that a mikvah doesn't have leaks. Because if a mikvah has a crack and some of the water comes out through the crack, then it becomes zeichelin. It becomes moving and flowing water, which pasuls the mikvah. Therefore, in Yemei Nisan, when there was a lot of water left over from the rainy season, he was afraid that the majority of the water potentially would be rainwater, which can only be metahir b'ashbayrin, not b'zeichelin. Masha'en came in the Yemei Tishrei. We're not chayshish for this, since it was mostly live spring water, which can be metahir b'zeichelin, can be metahir when it was running. This is why he was matirit during the Yemei Tishrei, but he assured his daughters from being taivel during the Yemei Nisan. The Trumas Hadeshen, which is brought in the Taz, in Yerodea, Hilchus Mikvais, Simon Reish Ayin, Sif Gimel, asks, why does Rav Mei Geshamim pasul b'zeichelin? If Mayim She'uvim, which we know normally pasuls a mikveh, and if you have Mayim She'uvim in a mikveh, it pasuls the mikveh. However, if Mayim She'uvim, which falls into a mikveh that already has 40 saw of water, in that case it doesn't pasul. Since once a mikveh has 40 saw, even if 1,000 saw of Mayim She'uvim fall into it, it doesn't pasul. Ayin Bataz, for an interesting lumdus, why in the case of the Mayim Shumim it doesn't pasul, but here in the case of Zeichelin, it does pasul. Going back to the Gemara. Rav Gidl said if a woman fed her child sticky food before going to the mikveh, the tefillah is no good, since we're chayshish that food stuck to her body and there was a chatzitza. Scars from bloodletting, after 3 days when they become hard and dry, are called chatzitzas, and a woman cannot be toivel with them. The Rama in Yerodea, Simen Kuf Tzadik Ches Siftas, says that if a woman soaks them so they become soft, then it's okay for her to be toivel even with these scars. The Gemara says that a woman, when doing tefillah, should not open her eyes too widely, because this would form a fold and water could not get into it, or close them too tightly, because then it becomes a situation of Eino Roi Lebiyas Mayim. It's impossible for water to get into it. As we discussed before, Kol Roi Lebila Ein Bila Makeves, if it's not roi to get it at all, then it's makevis, and the tefillah would not be good. The Achronim discuss a shaila which is very negiah today, and that is regarding contact lenses. All say that lechatchila contact lenses should be removed before tefillah. But b'diavad, Ramosha Zecha Tzadik Livracha, Nigrus Moshe Yeradeh Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Dalad, says that if a woman forgot to take them out, the tefillah is kosher, since they're not really that tight in the woman's eyes, and therefore they're not really considered a chatzitza. Rabbi Yitzchok said that min haTorah halacha l'maaseh miSinai, in order for something to be called a chatzitza and possible for tefillah, it must meet two conditions. Number one, rive of body. Rashi says rive of hair is also called rive. And number two, something which is, when it's stuck to a person's body, is uncomfortable to the person. They're makpid alav. For example, sticky honey, when it's stuck to a person's body, a person is uncomfortable. But just one of these two, that's not called a chatzitza. However, midrabanan, even if one of these two exists, it's still called a chatzitza. Rab says a nida midaraisa, who does tefillah bizman, should only do tefillah by night, not by day. But if it's done shaloi bizmane, it can be done by day or by night. Rabbi Yochanan says, in all cases, a nida can only be toivel at night, not by day. Since if we allow her to do this, in other words, to go during the day, her daughter might see her go during the day, and she might then go tefillah, or do the tefillah, thinking that she could do it on day, but not day 8, day 7. This, of course, is too early. You need 7 complete days from the time of the Hafsik Tara until you can go to the mikvah. However, in some places where there were ganavim, or there was a sakana to go and do tefillah at night, because the mikvah was in a dangerous place or whatever, they allowed tefillah to be done during the day. But of course, it had to be done only on day 8, not on day 7, because if it's done on day 7, it's too early, and that would not be a good tefillah. The Gemara says one of the 10 takanas of Ezra was that Isha chefefes v'tevelas. First, the woman washes and combs her hair, so that when she does tefillah, there are no chatzitzas. Then she does the tefillah. Rav Huna says, a woman can do chafifa a full day before tefillah. But Rav Chisda said, only if Shabbos is involved do we say that she do chafifa a day in advance. In other words, if she has to go to the mikvah, Matzoy Shabbos, we say that she does chafifa not on Shabbos, because of course you can't do that on Shabbos, but rather she does the chafifa Erev Shabbos. But when we talk about Yimei Chol, then the chafifa must be done just before the tefillah. The Gemara asks, can we allow a woman to do chafifa the same night as tefillah? We're concerned with doing it the same night because we're chayshish that she'll do it too quickly to get to the tefillah quick so she can get back to her husband. Mazrutra says this is aser. Rabbi Chinina says it's mutter. Daf Samachas. The Gemara says v'hilchasa. A woman should do chafifa by day and then do tefillah that night. Then the Gemara says, and another v'hilchasa, that a woman should do chafifa the same night as the tefillah, since takeuf lechafifa tefillah. The tefillah should be immediately after the chafifa. If you look at this, you have two hilchasas that are opposite, two hilchasas that are one decisive and X. The Gemara answers, ha di efshar, ha de lo efshar. And here we have a machlaikis rishayna. Rashi learns that when it's possible, what the Gemara means by ha di efshar, ha de lo efshar, Rashi says that that means that when it's possible to do chafifa bayayim, it should be done that day, not at night, because we're afraid if we do it at night, she'll rush and she won't do it properly before the tefillah. But if it's not possible to do it by day, for example, but the tefillah is supposed to happen Motzoi Shabbos, then the chafifa should be done on the night of the tefillah. For example, on Motzoi Shabbos, right before she does the tefillah. Tosfos argues on this. In the Tosfos Divrei Maskil Kach Amru, he brings the shita of the Shi'iltas Rav Achai Goyim, who learns the opposite of Rashi. If it's possible to do the chafifa at night, for example, like during the Yemei Chol, then you should do it on the night of the tefillah, because you're supposed to do it samach l'tefillah. But if it's not possible, for example, we're talking about Shabbos, then they should do it, she should do it on the previous day, i.e. Erev Shabbos. Today, we're noyig to try to do like both of the shitas, both the shita of Rashi and the shita of the Shi'iltas. We begin chafifa by day, and we continue into the night. As is brought in Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, Simen Kuf Tzadik Tes, Sif Gimel, Tovi Aleihem Bracha, anyone who does this. The Machaber also says in Sif Gimel that it's a minig that even if she did chafifa during whenever she did the chafifa, during the day, which began during the day and then continued into the night, she should still recomb her hair in the Beis HaTfila. The Machaber in Sif Dalet also says that if chafifa bayoim is impossible, for example, the tefila is Matzoi Shabbos, then the chafifa we do on Matzoi Shabbos. But the Rama adds that the minig yafa is that she should do the chafifa once on Erev Shabbos and again on Matzoi Shabbos. And the Shach says that it's not a minig, but rather that's the chiv. Chafifa, if a woman is toivel Matzoi Shabbos, she has to do chafifa both Erev Shabbos as well as Matzoy Shabbos. Rabbi Nabachaye says that Challah, Nida, and Hadlakas HaNer are three special mitzvahs given to a woman. Yaakov Avinu gave these simanim to Rachel, who then gave them to Leah. The zman that a woman does these three mitzvahs is an ace ratzon for a woman to be mispal to have good children. A nida is equal to the shas ha-tfila. So a woman does tfila on the night after she is a nida, that's a special ace ratzon to be mispal to have good children. In the Kisvei Ha'ari, when the woman in the mikvah lady, says kshera or tohira, after the woman is tevil in the mikvah, then the Yari says that a special baskal that comes out from Shemayim and says, Isha hi kashera, v'ru'uya leled banim kashera. Finally, we should point out, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, Simin Kuf Tzadik Ches, in the final sif there, the Rama there writes that when a woman comes out of a mikvah, she should avoid seeing a davar tame as the first thing that she sees. Davar tame meaning a chamor, a kelev, or a guy. But rather, she should try to see dvarim tahirim right at the beginning. And we say that we're saymich on the fact that the woman, the first person that the woman sees is really the woman, the other woman, the mikvah lady, the mikvah. We're saymich on that as the first kashera person that the woman sees. We're careful, of course, not to see dvarim, things that are bad, because this can have a bad roshim on the child, as the Rama says over there at the end of Simen Kuf Tzadik Ches. Finally, we should point out regarding chafifa and tefillah that there are two nights of the year that a woman is not allowed to do tefillah, and that, of course, are the nights of Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. The next Mishnah. A nida who checked herself on the seventh day of her nidus, in the morning, and she was tahar, but in the evening she did not do a hefsik tara. A hefsik tara is a special badika that is needed before she can begin counting the shiv nekiyim. So she did not do this special badika, she did not do the hefsik tara, but she did tefillah. And a few days later, she did a badika, and she found dam. So we say that she has a cheskas tahira. Since she did lamaisa, she did a badika on the morning of day 7. And therefore we say that any taharas which she touched until this point are considered to be still kosher. If, however, the badika on day 7 in the morning showed dam, and then she forgot to do a hefsik tahara, and she did tefillah, so if a few days later she did a badika and she saw no dam, then we say she has a cheskas tmeya. And everything, all the taharas that she touched from the point of the tefillah until now are all considered tameh. And the taharas become usur even before she found the dam, lemafreya, either 24 hours before, or back to the last badika, which was tar, whichever of these two is less time. And if the day of the badika was the day of her vest, which was her period, expected period, then we say daya shaita, she's only tameh from now on, mikanu lahaba, not lemafreya. Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Tanakama, and he says that if a woman did not make a hefsik tara, min amincha ulamala, i.e. in the afternoon, then she has a cheskas tameya. And even if she did a hefsik tara in the morning, it doesn't help. The chachamim are the most makel, that even if she made a bedika on day 2 of her period and was tahar, after tefillah she has a cheskas tahira. Gemara. Rav says a woman has the halacha of a zava vadai. Levi says a zava safek. After the 7 days a woman is a nida, she begins a period of 11 days where she has the potential of becoming a zava. During these 11 days, she has a cheskes tohera. And if she sees dam, she only becomes tameh mikan ulahaba, not lemafreya. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how can we even rely on a hefsik tara min amincha ulamala? What if dam came after that period? Unless, of course, she watched it through the entire Banish Mashas period. The next Mishnah. A zav and a zava who made a hefsik tara, and now are ready to begin counting the Zayin Nekiyim. They were baidik on day 1 and day 7, and they were tahar. But the 5 days in the middle, there was no badika at all. She forgot to do a badika. Rabbi Loza says, there's a cheskas tahara, since they did the badika on day 1. Rabbi Yeshua says, they only get credit for day 1 and day 7, but must now count an additional 5 days. Rabbi Akiva says, they only get credit for day 7, and they must now count an additional 6 days, since maybe dam came in the middle, and that was Saiser, the Shiva Nekiyim. Gemara. If a badika was done on day 1 and day 8, Rav holds, Rabbi Elazar would hold, this is the same as day 1 plus day 7. Rabbi Chanina would hold, that according to Rabbi Elazar, you only get credit for day 8 as day 1 of the count. In other words, day 1 counts for nothing. Now only day 8 counts as the new day 1, and now you have to recount all the other days. Daf Samach Tes. Rav teaches us a kula, even if you just make one bedika during the entire Shiva Nikiyam, whether at the beginning or at the end, it's considered to be a good Shiva Nikiyam, since we have a cheskes tahira, i.e., tchilasan afal pi she'enin saifan, the saifan afal pi shalei tchilasan. We know that after a woman does a hefsek tahara, and all the bleeding, of course, has stopped, then she observes the period called the Shiva Nikiyam, before she then goes to the mikveh after the Shiva Nikiyam. On each day of the Shiva Nikiyam, she has to do a bedika. Although many of the Rishayim, including the Tur and Siman Kuf Tzadik Vav Sif Zayin, say that one bedika each day of the Shiva Nikiyam is enough, the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Zayin over there, in Kuf Tzadik Vav, brings the Smag, who says that two bedikas need to be done each day, one in the morning and one in the evening. What if b'di'eved, a woman only did bedikas on some of these days? So the Mishnah, as we mentioned, brings a three-way machlokes, telling us which of these bedikas are ma'akev. And the halacha follows Rebbe Eliezer, who says that if a woman did a bedika only on the first and seventh day, in addition, of course, to the hafsik tara, that b'di'eved is fine. Rav says that Rebbe Eliezer doesn't require a bedika on both the first and the seventh day, but rather either the first or the seventh day, that's enough. The Ravid, as well as other Rishayim, including the Tur, rule in accordance with Rav's leniency. Moreover, as brought in Kuntras al-Hadaf, the Ravid asserts that it is not essential that the Bedika be performed specifically on the first or the seventh day. A Bedika on any one of the interim days is also sufficient. The Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Tzadik Vav, Sif Dalad, rules in accordance with Rabbi Chanina, who disagrees with Rav, and maintains that it's essential that a bedika be performed at least on both the first and the seventh day, at least once on the first day and once on the seventh day. Anything less than that is no good. This is true because the Zayin Nikiyam must begin with a bedika and must also conclude with a bedika. The Gemara says if a woman saw Tuma at one time in the 18 days, i.e. the 7 days of Nida plus the 11 days of Ziba, but she's besafik which day she saw, then she must do tefillah 9 times to cover each of the possibilities of when she may have finished her Shiva Nikiyam, since this psak would hold tefillah bizmana mitzvah. Sometimes the math could create a situation that even more than 9 tefillahs are required. The next Mishnah. Azav, Azava, Anida, Ayaledes, or a Mitzera, when they die, they are metame via masa. This is unique. And they're metame via masa until their flesh decays. But an akum is not metame. Beishamai says, every woman when she dies, we consider her to be a nida, so her clothes need tefillah. Beis Hillel says, only if she was actually a nida do we say that she's considered to be a nida. Gemara. Metame bemasa, as mentioned in the Mishnah, really applies to every mace, i.e. when the mace is carried, they cause tuma. What's different about these 5 is that if they sit on top of a big rock, with kalim underneath the big rock, these kalim also become tame. This is a gzera midrabanan. The men of Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua 12 things, 3 of Chachma, 3 of Agarata, and 3 which didn't make any sense, nonsensible, and 3 of Derech Eretz, including the 3 cases of our Mishnah. Question number 2 was, if man number 1 divorces his wife, she goes and marries man number 2, and then divorces, man number 1 cannot remarry her. This is what we refer to as machzir kushasai. This is usser. If he does, what is the status of a child from that union? We say that she is considered a tayeva, but the child is kosher. Dafayin. Additional questions of the Anshe Alexandria to Rabbi Yeshua were, if a Metzaira brings a carbon ani and then becomes wealthy, or vice versa, he brings a carbon usher and then becomes poor. This is a machlek is when exactly we evaluate his worth. When a person does tshuva, Hashem says that he doesn't want a person to die, as the pasuk in Yecheskel Yudches says, ki le echbatz b'mais hames. They also asked if the wife of Lot, who turned into a pillar of salt, if she has the din of a mace, which could be metame. Mar answers that Rabbi Shu answers that she's not considered a mace because she's salt, she's not a mace. They also asked the maceim of lo'asid lavai, tchias hamaceim, will they have a din of a mace which needs purification? Shu answered, the question will be answered at the time of Tchias HaMeisim. The additional 3 questions regarding Derech Eretz were, how can a person become wise? A And they answered, spend less time in business and more time in yeshiva learning. How can he become wealthy? Do business with integrity. And how can he have banav zacharim? A, he should marry a woman who is hagun for him. B, he should have relations in a modest fashion. And C, he should allow the woman to be mazria first. Dafayin Elf. The same machlokes of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai applies to a zav as well. When they die, Beis Shammai says they are automatically tamei zav. Beis Hillel says they're not. And by a woman, Beis Shammai says she's tamei because of the fright of death caused by her encounter with the Malach HaMavos, and that triggers a discharge of dam nida. The next Mishnah. If a woman dies, and from the Makor we find a revius of dam, she becomes tamei tumas nida, tumas kesem, and metamei she can be metamei ba'ayel. Rabbi Yehuda says, she's not metamei as kesem to be a nida because it left the Makor after she died. But if she was having a child and died, then she can be metamei b'kesem, since the dam came out before she died. Gemara. If a dead person was lying on a bed and blood was dripping out, it's a machleg as if this dam is metame, since some of the blood probably came out before death. The next Mishnah. At first they said, regarding a woman who gave birth, for example, let's say she had a girl, so she's tame for 14 days, she goes to the mikveh, then she's tar for 66 days. She's called a tevelas yom, she's a sheni letuma, and she can't eat truma until 80 days. So she can't touch water of kachim, but she can't touch the keli, since a sheni letuma cannot be metame odom v'kelim. The rule is, as we know, from the acronym Achtak, Aleph Ches Tov Kuf, that odom v'kelim can only go as far as a rishon letuma. Chulin, which refers to food and drink, can only go as far as a sheni letuma. Truma to a shlishi, and kachim can go as far as a revi. But for example, odom v'kelim can't become a sheni. They can only go as far as a rishon letuma. So here, if she's a sheni, she cannot be metama adam v'kelim, because adam v'kelim cannot become a shlishi, and in fact they can't become a sheni either. But Beis Shammai says she's not considered a sheni, rather she's an avatuma. Once she's an amatuma, she can be metame adam v'kelim, because adam v'kelim can become a rishon l'tuma. She's an avatuma, she can be metame adam v'kelim, who now become a rishon l'tuma. Gemara. This is referring to a case of chulin sher nasu al taras hakodesh, so even though it's really chulin, they're considered to be really like kachim. The next Mishnah. During the 66 days, if she has dough, she can take off challah. If her saliva falls on truma, it isn't metame. If she wants to eat truma after 66 days, Beis Shammai says she needs a tefillah. Beis Hillel says no tefillah is needed, since she already did tefillah after day 14. The next Mishnah. If a woman sees dam on day 1 of the 11 days of Ziva, the next day we say is she's called a shemeres yom keneged yom, meaning she keeps a clean day. She goes to the mikveh that morning, because we say mikzas yom kekulei, and then she's tahar. If she saw on day 11, where day 12, of course, is she's already finished with the ziva, because she can't be a zava after day 11, and then she went to the mikveh, had relations, and she did no shmira on day 12, Beis Shammai says it's like being bayal a zava ketana, and therefore there's a chi of carbon, and he and she are metame mishka v'moshav. Beis Hillel says, it's like damnida, so yes, there's tuma, but there's no carbon. If part of day 12 shmir was done, and we say hi mikta seyam kekulei, Beis Hillel says there's no carbon and there's no tuma. Beis Shammai says potter from a carbon, but they're tamei mishkav umayshav. Dafayin Beis, the Gemara. If a man had one re'iyah of zayv, according to Beis Shammai, he's like a shemer seyam keneged yom. But Beis Hillel says he's like a balkeri, and after he goes to the mikveh, he can eat meiser. According to Beis Hillel, where re'iyah on day 11 doesn't need shimur, i.e., it's irrelevant, since on day 12, there's no more possibility of ziva, and no zava gedayla without 3 full days. What if she saw it on day 10? Rabbi Yochanan says day 10 is like day 9, therefore there is shimur. Reish Lakish says day 10 is like day 11, therefore no shimur is needed. Finally, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah told Rabbi Akiva that by lachmei taida, we don't use a full loig shemen, only a half a loig, and this is halacha l'maisha nisinai. Dafayin Gimel. How do we know that a zava is metame b'mishkav uv'moshav, anything that they sit or lie on? The pasuk says in Vayikra Tesvav, kol yemei zava k'mishkav nidasa yiela. Just like a nida is metame this way, so too a zav or a zava. And how do we know the halacha of shemer siyem k'neged yom? This is learned from yiyeh la, what the pasuk says. The Gemara asks whether these halachas are min ha-Torah or halacha l'maisha me-Sinai is a machlokes. Rabbi Akiva says they're learned from Sukkim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it's halacha l'maisha mi-Sinai. Finally, the Masechta ends with the famous Memra of Tana de Be'el Yehu, Kol Hashena Halachos B'chol Yom, any person who learns Halachos every day, Rashi explains this means Mishnah, and so on, Muftoch Lo Yishehu Ben Olam Haba, it guarantees himself for himself a place in Olam Haba, Shenemar Halichos Olam Loi, Al Tikri Halichos, Ela Halachos. It's most interesting that the final words of the entire Shas are these words of this famous Memra. But these words are very appropriate for those who learn V'daf HaYomi. The Memra says, Kol Hashena Halachos B'chol Yom, Muftoch Lo Yishehu Ben Olam Haba. A person who sets aside time every day to learn Mishnah U'Gemara automatically becomes Zeicha for Olam Haba. And this, of course, is the godless of the Daf Yomi. It assures that we learn Torah each and every day. You can't miss a Daf, or you risk falling behind. So in this way, learners of the Daf Yomi guarantee for themselves a place in Olam Haba. And the schus of the thousands who are celebrating this 10th Siyam HaShas of the worldwide Daf Yomi, all of us in Klal Yisrael should be Zeicha to the Gula Shlema with the Bias HaMashiach B'mheira V'yameinu. Hajin Alach Masechta Nida.